Thomas May of the Nashville Symphony and others tell us this music, the Cum Sancto Spiritu, with the Holy Spirit, is the final movement of the Gloria of Antonio Vivaldi, bringing the work of praise and celebration to a jubilant close. If we listen here, we recognize that Vivaldi has composed a lively and intricate fugue that requires, as we're told, precision and agility from the choir so that audiences will be uplifted and exhilarated. That's the intent. And so this is an 18th century Gloria performed in 2012 by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale under the direction of William Payne. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale will open its 2025-2026 season with a 21st century Gloria by American composer Michael Glasco. And many of the phrases describing the finale of the Vivaldi Gloria might apply as well to the close of Glasco's Gloria, only ramped up even more in energy and complexity. Glasco told his alma mater, Concordia University, Wisconsin, "I've taken care to ensure that this Gloria actually sounds like what it says. The first movement is one of jubilant praise and faith. The second movement is a quiet prayer. And the final movement is an explosive celebration of mixed meter syncopation and cross rhythms."
Bit of spasmodic jubilation. It's just frenetic almost, and just ecstasy.
That Michael Glasco from his website, and he does say that the Gloria culminates in ecstatic amens that he envisions as an amazing party that you don't want to leave. It's so fitting that the new season of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale will begin in celebration and joy. William Payne has been music director and conductor for 30 years, and he will be retiring at the end of the 2025-26 season. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale will present not just one, but two exuberant works this Sunday, October 19th at 3 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Sunbury. The Te Deum by Antonín Dvořák will join Glasgow's Gloria. We had a chance to learn more about the program and how it seems just right for Bill Payne's leave-taking.
I have been with the Susquehanna Valley Chorale for 30 glorious years, and I decided to step down after this season. So this is my final bow. All of the concerts that are coming up, and we're going to be reflecting on these three decades. Just, I'm overwhelmed with the cherished memories, the music that we've made over the years. And so I'm excited about this coming season.
And you must have started thinking about what would be right for a valedictory season in this way, right?
I did. I started thinking about it a couple of years ago because people knew that this was imminent. I was going to be retiring. The one thing that I really wanted to be sure to put on my program was the Verdi Requiem, and we will be doing that this coming spring in March. And the wonderful thing is about that is that we are featuring soloists who are local soloists, people who live in the area, colleagues who have moved to the area. And so I'm particularly excited and the Williamsport Chorus that is conducted by Sam Robinson is going to be joining us. We're collaborating with them. So it's going to be a chorus of about 100 voices.
And everybody will be getting chills. We know it because of the power of the work, but then the extra musical associations as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really thrilled about this upcoming concert, and because it's very celebratory, just seems like two perfect pieces for my first concert of the season.
And the word in the press release is exuberant, exuberance. And it's wonderful because there's a connection between you and Michael Glasgow and a piece with that title. Introduce us to Michael and tell us about how you came together with that lovely piece.
Well, we collaborated. I've known Michael probably a good 20 years through various festivals and conferences that we've both attended. And we worked on a piece called Exuberance, which has been performed in many, many places throughout the country. And he was performing it in State College a number of years ago. And we live very close to State College on our farm in the quiet countryside, our organic farm. And we invited Michael to come to our house. And that's when I really got to know him as a person. And he loves gourmet cooking. It's one of the things that he enjoys doing as a hobby. And my wife does too. So the two of them got together and cooked up some incredible meal. And so that's where it all started. And Michael is an amazing musician. He's coming to our dress rehearsals. He's taken the time. He's going to fly up from Raleigh, North Carolina. And he's going to be at our Tuesday dress rehearsal, which is a three-hour rehearsal. We'll be working on his work, plus the other work that I'll talk about. And then he's staying with us here at the farm. And then he'll be at the concerts and at the final dress rehearsal next Saturday. So we're thrilled that he made the time to come. And I'm excited for the choir to meet him because he's just an interesting, wonderful guy.
Your friendship with Michael, as you describe it, Bill, is a rich one. And even more meaningful is the idea that you would be able to find in his portfolio a work that would be just right in its celebratory nature for this opening concert. It's a Gloria. Tell us how he works with the Gloria text. We know Vivaldi, Gloria, and all of those things. Tell us what he does with it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's, of course, the Latin text that we all know, Gloria in excelsis, glory to God in the highest. And he sets it very similar to other settings, like Rutter's settings and Vivaldi's, where it's in three movements. Vivaldi's is in more than three, but he breaks it down into an opening, very celebratory, exuberant, as you say, opening. The interesting thing about the opening movement and the closing movement is that they're both filled with many meter changes. I think in the final movement, which is also very dramatic and exciting, he told me he has 70 places where there are meter changes, where there are time signature changes, and there's syncopation and cross rhythms. So it makes the work wonderful, but yet accessible for both the listener and the singers. He's a melody person. So there are some gorgeous melodies, particularly in the second movement, which reflects that the text, I believe, is Lord Have Mercy. And it reflects this text so beautifully. So it's an amazing work, and I can't wait for people to hear it. The singers are loving it.
Do you think he would be inclined in meeting the singers to tell something about what was in his heart and mind as he was creating it and give some of that wonderful background so that they can even have a more fulsome understanding of the piece?
Of course. And he did write a nice preface to the work in the choral score, but I do want him to talk to them a little bit about it because he started, I have never asked him about this, but he was having a particularly hard day. And you know how music just soothes the soul. And he sat down at the piano and started writing. And he wrote the first few measures of the second movement and the last and the coda of the second movement And then he put it aside because he was at that point very much involved in a requiem that he had written. And he came back to it after the pandemic. And it's important for, I think, the chorus to recognize how important it was for him to, during the pandemic, have this opportunity to continue writing and to make it a work that made a difference. I think one of Michael's things is that he feels that the music must reflect the text. And in the Gloria, it certainly does. When it's talking about glory to God in the highest, it's amazing. And the final amens are over the top. It totally does reflect what this text is saying.
In choosing this, does it help you sum up the exuberance you have about being able to make music of all kinds over 30 years with this ensemble, who are no doubt your friends?
It's a family, actually. And yeah, I chose this because it does reflect the fact that I think that one thing that was important to me over these 30 years was to bring new music to our listeners and to our supporters and to the singers and our instrumentalists. I've been a proponent of new music, and I just feel that it's important that we as conductors allow that to come to life, allow new music to come to life. So knowing Michael, I liked his Requiem. And so I said, when you write something else, I want to see it. And when I heard it for the first time, and it was basically synthesized because he was sending me a PDF MP3 of it, and I was struck by its celebratory nature and the fact that it was a friend of mine, and all of this coupled together was reason enough for me to choose it as one of my last season's works.
At the same time, we know you've commissioned works and you've written works that the Susquehanna Valley Chorale has done as well.
Yeah.
But the sense of the classics, you're going to do the Verdi Requiem, so that's a classic. You always do some of those marvelous works that we know and are stirred by. How about pairing Michael with Dvorak?
It just seemed to work, and because Michael's work is paired with two soloists, baritone and soprano, which Faure did with his Requiem with Brahms, and so many, that's such a great pairing. And so when I decided to do Michael's work, I knew that I wanted to do something that was historical, a piece, a really masterpiece of the centuries. And so I knew who I wanted for my soloist. And I talked with them and they said, oh, do the Te Deum. It would be so wonderful to sing together. And so that's how that came about. And the Te Deum, years ago, the chorale sang the Dvorak Te Deum with Williamsport Symphony under Robert Fountain. And that was a glorious experience, but I didn't get to conduct it. So this time I get to stand in front of the orchestra and chorus. And yes, it's a very dramatic work. Here again, it was written as a celebratory piece when Dvorak came to the United States. So it's pretty cool.
Tell us the soloists you've chosen.
They are two of our favorite guest soloists. And so I could not end my tenure with Susquehanna Valley Chorale without inviting them back. Jill Gardner is our soprano, and Jill is recognized as a lirico spinto. She's Puccini through and through. And the audiences have always loved her. She sang the Verdi Requiem with us several years ago, and she did two opera galas where we sang all of the opera choruses and included many of the amazing arias. And, you know, she's known and she's done many, many performances of Tosca, and that's kind of her signature role. And when she sings Visi d'arte, it's just brings tears to your eyes. It's pretty amazing. So we're very excited to have Jill back, because both of these works are going to utilize her amazing voice so beautifully. And then Timothy Lefevre is a professor of voice at Oberlin Conservatory of Music, and he's also division director of vocal studies. He's had a long and distinguished career as a baritone soloist all over the United States, particularly. He's been here in central Pennsylvania. He did Beethoven's Mass in C with the Pennsylvania Chamber Orchestra. He did Haydn's Creation with the State College Choral Society. And just recently, 2 years ago, he did Handel's Messiah with us. So here are two seasoned singers, and our audiences have always enjoyed them. So I had to include them. It was just amazing to bring them back. And they agreed, of course.
Let's return to Michael and just ask. He's interesting in that he has a dedication to handbells. Tell us a little bit more about that fascination and that expertise.
Yeah, that's how we kind of got to know each other, because I've had an association with handbells, as you know, with the Candlelight, now Candlelight Christmas. And so he's written numerous pieces for handbells. And so that's another connection that the two of us have had. And in fact, the work that we collaborated on was a handbell piece. So it's pretty amazing.
Let's open the season in this way by reminding people about your home base, Zion Lutheran Church, and how important that's been as a space for you all to perform in.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's my most favorite venue of all time. It just works. It's a Zion Lutheran Church in Sunbury is a gorgeous, gorgeous edifice. It has the high vaulted ceilings, everything a conductor hopes for, particularly a choral conductor, because it's live, but it's not too live. And so it really supports the orchestra and soloists and choruses. And it's just a lovely, lovely setting. So, of course, I had to do a few of my concerts there, my final season, and this one definitely will be there. And we're doing just one performance on Sunday, October 19. We decided to do this. You know, I've often said to my executive director, I wish we'd thought of this after COVID, because COVID played havoc with audiences, with musicians. And so many, many organizations are suffering even to this day after COVID. And we've been very blessed with people, many, many donors who are there to help us. And so to involve the whole ensemble in a place where we can just make amazing music is such a pleasure and privilege.
William Payne, music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, speaking with us at the start of the 2025-2026 season. Dr. Payne will retire at the end of the season after 30 years. So the chorale will present two exuberant works. This work, the Te Deum by Antonín Dvořák, and the contemporary piece, The Gloria by Michael Glasgow. And that's Sunday, October 19th at 3 in the afternoon at Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Sunbury. You're invited to attend a pre-performance talk at 2:15 by Gary Burkle, Professor Emeritus at Lycoming College, and he'll put these pieces into context. As we heard from Bill Payne, the program will feature guest soloists Jill Gardner and Timothy Lefevre. And if you need more information, on the web, svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org. It's the fall concert, and it's the Susquehanna Valley Chorale under the direction of Bill Payne, presenting two exuberant works, The Gloria by Michael Glasgow and the Te Deum by Antonín Dvořák, this Sunday, October 19th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Sunbury. For more information, on the web, svcmusic.org.